Good to have you as we continue on now. My next guest says that a debt limit deal could be put together that have something for Republicans and Democrats. I don't know about the American people, but for politicians there'll be plenty, as there always is. Kurt Couchman, Senior Fellow in Fiscal Policy at the Americans for Prosperity. Kurt, good to have you.
It's great to be back, Steve.
All right, so a debt limit deal. It seems the Democrats are already trying to figure out what they can do with their lame duck session here. What do we got, about 45 or 50 days, something like that, and trying to figure out things that they can ram through, including a debt limit. You see, the Democrats like there to be no debt limit ever, so they could buy votes on infinitum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
the Democrats really don't like the debt limit.
So how do we find something here that's workable? Because, you know, I don't know that anything is workable in Washington these days.
Well, that's the hope, that we can figure out how to put it back together. But, yeah, I mean, there has been some talk about Democrats using the reconciliation process to kind of jam it through with no Republican votes, some, like, absurd increase in the debt limit, you know, tens of trillions of dollars, so it won't bind again for a generation. But to do that, they'd have to burn a lot of floor time, because you have to pass a budget resolution from both houses. And then you have to do the reconciliation bill, which itself would be pretty simple if you're just increasing the debt limit. But, of course, there's some Democrats that would want to take advantage of one last hurrah to put a bunch of other stuff in there. So it's a bad idea from their perspective to try to do it right now. And it also would kind of take off the table the ability to do this kind of bipartisan deal that I talk about in this piece in The Hill, which I think there's a lot of hope that we could do something that is good for the American people while also being good for the politicians.
You know, they always make a big deal about these government shutdowns. Although in practical application, big government shutdowns generally affect just the people that work in those departments. The average citizen, I've never been affected by a government shutdown. And I don't think most people are. I think the news media makes a big deal about it. And I'm okay with them. Mm-hmm. Because if it says stop spending money on ridiculous things, which is what they do on a 24-hour basis, to spend money, money that we don't have, money that we borrow to fill in the gap. We borrow money to give it to Ukraine. Brilliant plan.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, what do you make of it?
So, yeah, shutdowns are not as bad as the media like to make it out to be. It's this big dramatic thing. For me, the more important reason to take shutdowns off the table, there's two, really. One is that Congress never intended them to happen. There was a Carter administration reinterpretation of a post-Civil War law, and after that, and it was the right decision based on the text of the law, but, like, Congress never meant for that to happen before. Things would just sort of continue on. So Congress should go back to the way it was before. And the other thing, and this is the more important one, is that right now, when you get to the end of a fiscal period, the new thing, whether it's a CR or an omnibus or whatever, it just has to be better than a shutdown in the eyes of most members to get them to vote for it. That's a bad system. What we want is like what Wisconsin does, where you have an automatic continuing resolution. So the new thing has to be better than the status quo for most members to vote for it. It works really well in Wisconsin. It works really well in North Carolina as well. And so it's really the incentives that it changes that are the reason to do it, more so than like all of the issues inherent to a shutdown itself.
Yeah. And so can we get there? I mean, here's the thing. A lot of Republicans, and rightfully so, have had all they can take of the Democrat parliamentary tricks, the deals that, you know, bring us to the edge, and then they ram it through with no votes from the Republicans anyway, using reconciliation, which was, that's a trick. That is a mm-hmm. you know, it's an accounting trick. That's all it is, really, right?
Well, it's a procedural thing, but budget reconciliation creates really unhealthy incentives, and that needs to go away, but that's kind of a separate discussion. This one is more about the debt limit and what can be traded to kind of build a broad coalition of support. And, you know, I worked for two Freedom Caucus members during the 6 years that I was up on the Hill, and all we wanted was to start reducing the debt growth, specifically by reducing spending growth. And you need to have, like, reasonable budget targets that a broad swath of people can agree to. And kind of the carrot to get Democrats enough Democrats to support that is to say that, hey, as long as we're on target, then, you know, we're going to indefinitely suspend the debt limit. But being on target means that we're reducing the deficit in a methodical way that avoids the long-term debt crisis while avoiding also the short-term debt default crisis that could actually happen if we were to hit the debt ceiling. And trigger a technical default by the federal government. So you want to avoid both the near-term and the long-term problems, and this is kind of the way to do that.
Correct. So we need to reel it in. Agree with that. And, well, I guess my question is, can we get a deal between Republicans and Democrats before this is said and done for this term, with the time that's left on the clock?
Oh, that's not happening in this Congress, I don't think. There's too many other things that they need to figure out. They're still figuring out the funding for the rest of the year. We're expecting an omnibus. We're expecting it could be really bad because there's a couple of retiring appropriators that want to put their last mark on things. Speaker Pelosi is expected to retire sometime in the new year, and so she's going to want to have her last hurrah. And the agenda setters are all, you know, Democrats right now because it's unified Democratic control. So we're trying to play defense as best we can and hope that narrowly divided government next Congress provides the opportunity and the incentive and the room to actually be able to move our country in a better direction than it's been going. So not this year, but hopefully next year. We're expecting the debt limit fight to come to a head sometime in the summer. The estimates are all over the place. This is a particularly weird time, partly because of Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. But there's a bunch of other factors, too.
Well, the student loan thing has been struck down. I mean, that's been struck down by courts. I don't think that was ever legal. It was it was a fake buying vote scheme. He wasn't even going to pay for them. He was just going to buy them and then renege, which is apparently what happened. Anyhow, Kurt, thank you for being here. Greatly appreciate it. Kurt Godgman, Senior Fellow, Fiscal Policy, Americans for Prosperity. I'll be back in just a moment.